Welcome to The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis. I am your host, Cicely Davis.
Welcome back, Savages, to The Savage Truth. I am your host, of course, Cicely Davis. Thank you so much for joining me. And you know what? I brought someone with me yet again.
Oh, me.
You.
Okay.
Brought my husband, Brad, again. Just seems like everyone really liked having you on the show in particular, and they really apparently liked the exchange that we had.
Hopefully they're not trying to just sabotage your show.
Oh,
there
no.
There could be Kamala voters, and they're like, ooh, yeah, bring more of him in.
So, you know, I figured, you know what? I want to give the people what they want. So I brought you back.
Well,
and we're going to talk about, as we near the election, just talk about a few things because, yeah, Kamala Harris and Tim Walz had another bad week. They're on a roll here. And Donald Trump had another, and J.D. Vance had another amazing week.
I'm trying to find their good weeks.
That's good. If you're new to the show, I'm Cicely Davis, and you're on The Savage Truth. And this is my husband, Brad. He is a visitor,
but
really well-liked. If you're a visitor, welcome to the show. Bring someone on back. In fact, come back next week. For those of you who tune in on a regular basis, thank you so much. I appreciate you. Truly, I mean that genuinely. But whether you're returning or you're new to the channel, I have an ask, and it's always the same, to please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube as we get into this week's haps. And away we go. And I want to start out by saying, whoop, whoop, whoopee, Whoopee Goldberg. Ay, 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 ay. Whoopee Goldberg. Poor thing.
Yep.
Have you heard? Have you seen?
Well, I've seen her. I haven't seen her lately, honestly, but I've seen her. And every time I look at her, she looks like, you know, those dust balls that you get from underneath your bed. And you just stick it up. That's what she looks. It looks like a big dust ball.
Big dust ball of dust.
That is all I see every time I look at her.
She's and dusty.
I don't know. She is dusty, and I don't know what else.
She just never looks happy.
She doesn't look happy or clean, or she looks dusty. She looks awful.
She's dusty.
Dusty.
Well, she was also on her show, The View, and she was having another spaz out, just completely losing it. And she went off on this rant. And so, you know what? Let's actually show the people quick here. Here's what we're referring to, folks, in case you haven't heard it or seen it.
Let me see it.
Talking about you, it's us. He's not going to say, oh, you're with a white guy. I'm going to keep you from being deported. No, he's going to deport you and put the white guy with someone else. The man is out there.
Yes. So Whoopi is at it again with these absurd claims. So if you didn't quite understand or really catch the lead up to that, she was basically saying that when Donald Trump gets into office, and he will get into office, he will be the 47th president of the United States. But apparently she is afraid and warning people that when he gets into office, he's going to break up interracial marriages and deport the non-white spouses and put the white spouse with someone else.
Wow. Huh. Interesting. I can't wait to see how that turns out.
Well, you get to stay.
Yeah, but I'm going to get a new wife.
She's
going to be white. Well, that'll be interesting. She's spinning around at the. It's like if you crossed that dust bunny with the Tasmanian devil, it was just like she's spinning around like she's losing her mind. Like, I don't know, like dust.
No, folks, this really,
everywhere.
It's not a TV drama. This is really it. I mean, they are really, truly, all jokes aside, they are losing it. They're really, truly losing it. And not to mention, isn't J.D. Vance his VP pick in an interracial relationship?
Well, nobody cares about those truths.
Oh,
you know, it is,
oh,
you know,
that's how this works.
You know, we just, don't look at that. That doesn't mean anything. You know, it is, you know, that's a cover up. You know, it's like our relationship here. We're just pretending we're not actually married, everybody. We should just disclose.
Sure. That.
This is just, I was at the bus stop and she asked me to just join in. And so here I am, you know, and I don't really know what this is all about, but she seemed nice. And so I thought, why not?
Yeah.
It made me a peanut butter sandwich too. So really clinched the deal.
Whoopi thinks he's part of this master plan, okay, to uproot families and shove spouses out of the country. It's like a parody of reality. But unfortunately, these baseless smears, they actually make it to air. This is the same song and dance where everything gets called Nazi when they're desperate to, you know, land a hit. And that's what we're hearing now.
Right. They're throwing things out there. Oh, he's going to start internment camps just for all the people he doesn't like. It's not about, you know, the illegal aliens or any of that. It's just people he doesn't like. He's throwing them in internment camps. We've got, you know, we'll have everything ready to go. He's like Hitler. We're going to be gassing up the ovens shortly. You know, good luck to everybody. But who believes these things? That's what I want to know. I think what's scary to me is not the fact that they say them, because they've been saying them forever now.
Right.
But who is believing this? That, I think, is the question. Who sits in their right mind doesn't go, gosh, you know, that doesn't quite sound right.
Yeah.
There's not a, where is the element of truth to these statements they're saying? And it doesn't stop.
Right. It just seems very delusional. It seems, you know, rash. It feels like they're just simply losing because, you know what? There's no arguments left. The simple fact is she can't get away from her own record. She can't get away from the fact that for the last 4 years, we have had massive, widespread ineptitude in leadership from the Biden-Harris administration. She bragged about the Bidenomics. She was absolutely bragging and, you know, put her stamp on fracking, right? She talked about making sure that transgender prisoners got enough funding to have their sex changes and on and on and on. She's made all these claims. She's made a lot of movements and maneuvers towards this far left agenda, and it's sticking to her and she just can't shake it loose.
Yeah, she doesn't do anything. There is no policy here. That's what I think it's funny when she said, well, I'm not going to change anything, but then I'm going to change everything, but I don't know what I'm going to change. It's almost like, I don't know if there's any Seinfeld fans out there, but when George worked for the Yankees and he decided he really didn't do anything, but he just, every time anybody asked him what he was doing, he would just pretend he's really busy. That literally is what her entire vice presidency has been. And now her presidential run is focusing on the same. Nothing is going on there. Nothing.
Yeah.
And there's this pretending. We have to pretend along with her, like a fake audience, and clap and pretend like, oh, we're really doing something. And she's not. And then we've got Tim Walz in there, too, which is a whole nother story I can barely stand to bring.
But Brad, I don't know if you're noticing that the left side, especially left media and some of the left elites, are starting to move away from her. They're either oddly silent, where you're not hearing from Pelosi. You're not hearing from a lot of the elites, a lot of the donors and things like that. They're oddly silent and they've disappeared. They've kind of gone away. We're not hearing anything from Zuckerberg. They're recognizing that they realize that this was a coup, that she was an embarrassment.
The people who orchestrated the coup are
silent.
Extremely silent.
Yeah.
And it's like they've just gone because they don't want to answer questions about that.
That's right.
She stole the presidency or the from Joe Biden. And that's really all it comes down to. So now all of a sudden, everybody that's associated with that theft has now kind of, you know, gone radio silent.
Yeah. And after that honeymoon phase was over and the veil was pulled, they started realizing what they already knew when she was a presidential candidate is that she's unqualified and unfit to be president of the United States. She's not well-liked. She's not likable. She's not talented. And she doesn't have, you know, she just doesn't have what it takes to hold the highest position in the land. She just simply doesn't have it. And now they're starting to back away and revert from her.
I'm not even sure she has what it takes to work at McDonald's.
Agreed. Did you see the way Donald Trump served up those fries?
The man is a natural. He's a hand at everything
joy.
He does.
Joy in those people's faces. Joy.
He's good at everything he does, even handing out fries.
Absolutely. Well, you know what? Speaking of them having a really bad week, and they're bringing up fascism, and Whoopi Goldberg is talking about breaking up interracial relationships. We had Donald Trump at Madison Square Garden, shutting it down, selling it out, of course. And he had a whole lineup of amazing people coming out and speaking on his behalf and talking to the American people in New York, especially about the future of America, how bright it's going to be. And he was really kind of applauding Americans for coming together and just kind of going away from this leftist way that we've been in for the last 4 years. And Elon Musk was extremely, I was just so very impressed. I felt so very cheerful And I'm feeling very secure. Like, yeah. That man is so very smart.
He is literally a genius. Yeah. I think that what we have is that there's a realness about that campaign.
Yeah.
That you just, there's nothing fake about that campaign.
Yeah.
And it just, you see it when they're out there speaking. Mm-hmm. It's just, there is a freedom about it. It's not, set up. They're speaking as if they're speaking to actual real people. They are not doing what Obama does and going out there and wagging fingers and lying about the candidates that are in play. This is the thing, you listen to Obama speak, and this week, or he was in Peoria, Illinois, when he gave a speech, and he was saying something about walls and how walls, they're just trying to portray walls as he's just this man of men. Just out there doing, he was a veteran. He's a marksman. And then he brings up my favorite point, which was he said that walls. He just found out walls can actually tear apart a vintage truck and put it back together. And he said, "Can Donald Trump do that?" And I thought, "What's the point?" Because I know you can't.
I know he can tear a city up and not put it back together. I can tell you that.
I'm not convinced. If Wall, the guy that can tear a truck apart, put it back together, but can't load his own shotgun, I'm going to call that to be a little fictitious. The only thing that I believe that Walls has actually done, I believe he got that DUI at 95 miles an hour. I believe that.
Wow. Well,
but,
he can
short of that. Well, he got out of it, actually.
Sure.
He plea bargained his way out of it. And he was drunk, and he lied about that. There's another thing that Obama said is that, aren't you tired of being lied to? And yet, if you look at the lies that have been told about Walls in just a very few short months, you have to wonder. He wasn't a war veteran. He claimed that when he got picked up for his DUI, he actually drove himself to the jail. Because it was really fictitious, but he didn't, and he was drunk, and so they just continually lie about him being a Tiananmen scare, all these things. So are we tired of being lied to? I'm going to say absolutely, tired of being lied to. Yes, I agree with you, Mr. Obama. Now, please exit the stage.
Well, Elon Musk was just very, very cheerful. I saw the joy. Let's take a few seconds here. It's a little bit longer, but let's show the people the joy. This is Elon Musk, just a little clip of his speech that he had in New York in Madison Square Garden. Let's take a look.
It's going to be great. America is going to reach heights that it has never seen before. The future is going to be amazing. Now, you guys are awesome. Honestly, this is like... Yeah. I mean, this is the kind of positive energy that America is all about. Yeah. USA, 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 USA.
Wow, yes. What a guy. I mean, I just love his spirit. He was so excited to be up there. And Brad, just to your point, you recognize that there was no prompter there. He was just speaking to the people, right? He's cheering and he's pumping his fists and he's connecting to those people. And he's feeling great being up there. But he's really excited about America and all of us going together into America's future. That's what I felt from
that's truly what America's meant to be. I think that's what they represent. This is what they represent. So let's really take a close look at that. We're winding down the days. Let's really look at these things and say, can we do better than a Kamala Harris and Tim Walz?
Savagely, yes.
Absolutely, yes. That's the savage truth.
And if you don't mind, Brad, I'm going to go ahead and give people another visual. Since you brought up Obama, let's remind the people, let's show Barack Obama shaking his finger, literally shaking his finger at a room full of Black people, but particularly speaking to Black men, basically berating them, speaking shaming them
down to black men,
speaking down to black men about not voting for Kamala Harris and how that's unacceptable. Here's that clip.
You're thinking about sitting out or even supporting somebody who has a history of denigrating you because you think that's a sign of strength, because that's what being a man is, putting women down? That's not acceptable.
I mean, where's the joy?
The joy.
Where's the joy?
There is no joy in that campaign.
I saw joy in Madison Square Garden.
The joy has been sucked out of that room.
I didn't see any joy. But you know what? This is, it just speaks to relatability, I say. And this is where Kamala Harris and Tim Walz have lost the American people. And they're desperate. They're grasping at straws in this home stretch to the presidential election with fascism, Whoopi Goldberg. Oh. And then she had that crash and burn with the Anderson Cooper, which we're going to show you all that next as well.
All they have is they're appealing to the people that hate Trump. That's it. We just want you to hate Trump. And so we're going to call him Hitler. We're going to align him with everything that you could possibly hate.
Yeah.
He probably, kicked a dog at one time too. I'm sure that they'll dig that up in the last few days. We'll find out that he actually kicked the dog.
Yeah.
And so they'll do anything to just appeal to that voter, because that's all they have left.
That's all they
Because got. If it was going to be about the policies, if it was going to be about the border, if it was going to be about the economy, they lose. They just lose. And we sit here and we play this game as if they have something to offer the American people. And I find it just absolutely, it drives me insane.
Well, I think the American people are smart enough. I think we've recognized that Kamala has nothing to offer the American people. Tim Walz certainly has nothing. He doesn't even have a record. If you look at how Minnesota has been run under his quote unquote leadership, it should make you want to tuck tail and run the opposite direction.
They're actually talking down all the things that actually happened. So, for example, Megyn Kelly was on Bill Maher this week, and they were talking about the illegal aliens and how they've actually, the crimes that they're committing, and he kind of talks it down. Bill Maher was saying that anytime you let illegal aliens in, you're going to end up with a certain percentage that are going to commit crimes. And while that is true, I mean, I don't think anybody would argue that. Under Trump, there were about a little over 2 million legal aliens that came into this country. And let's just say that 1% of them committed crimes. So we've got 20,000. But under the administration of Biden and Harris, we have had, let's just say, 15 million or 16 million illegal aliens who have not been vetted, who have come into this country. And so now we're looking at about 150,000. If we take that 1%, we got 150,000 that could potentially commit crimes. It's a big difference from 20,000 to the jump to 150,000-160,000 that are potential. And that's if it was 1%. Mm-hmm. The fact that they're unvetted would probably make it closer to, maybe 3% or something like that. So it's astounding. The numbers are astounding. And you're to believe that, this isn't happening. It's just a few of the illegal aliens are committing crimes. Just a few Venezuelan gangs have taken over a few apartment buildings here in the United States. Just ignore that. Yeah. I don't know who they think they're trying to fool, but if they're fooling you, then I'm really concerned about this country. So please tell me they're not.
Yeah. So, and I like to just remind people that there's a difference between that and those who have, come into by due process, right? I mean, this is just another set of blunders for Kamala Harris. I think that, go ahead.
Yeah, it's just that they're not. Yeah, they were vetted. They were, or the ones that were waiting on the other side in Mexico to come in until they were vetted. Mm-hmm. But now we're just releasing them in. And we could get into the whole part about the children that are missing. We talk about human trafficking and the concerns of that. And yet this administration has just waived all these children. There's hundreds of thousands of children that are just missing from the border. We don't know where they are, and is it likely that some of those have gone into sexual trafficking? Absolutely,
yeah.
I think. And so we're supposed to ignore these facts also.
This is just tragic. I mean, Vice Kamala Harris, her recent town hall, as I mentioned, with Anderson Cooper, is just another, you know, something else I can point at. This is all very tangible, these blunders. It's just the latest in a long series of political blunders that she's managed to put on display. Watching her try to respond straightforward questions is like watching someone nervously backpedal through a cornfield maze in the dark. Each answer tangles her up in another series of vague, circular comments. One has to wonder and admire Cooper's patience as he asked her to clarify points, and she just stumbled over her words and she was unable to get it out simply because, again, she's trying to escape her very own administration's record. Let's show them a little clip of that. This is Kamala Harris on Anderson Cooper.
Under Donald Trump, you criticized the wall more than 50 times. You called it stupid, useless, and a medieval vanity project. Is a border wall stupid?
Why is there any ideological perspective on it? Let's just fix the problem.
To fix the problem, you're doing this compromise bill. It does call for $650 million that was earmarked under Trump to actually still go to build the wall.
I'm not afraid of good ideas where they occur.
So you don't think it's stupid anymore?
Oh, the Harris trademark. More word salads, right? That almost, you can almost taste it. It's just blah. Well, there's actually nothing at all there. There is no taste. You can particularly see viewers cringe in unison as Harris sidestep and slams, you know, stammers and diverts, and leaving everyone wondering if she ever actually has a coherent thought at all.
No, it's like a blackboard, an empty blackboard up there in her brain. It's true. I actually saw there was a x-ray and it showed of her brain and it was a blackboard.
The questions Cooper asked, though, the ones that he asked her, these weren't exactly curveballs, right? These are the questions that is literally going to be her job to answer.
I would like my president to be answer some of those questions.
Yeah. These are the typical topics that any politician, let alone the president, the presidential candidate of the United States, should have anticipated and been well beyond prepared to answer as we enter the home stretch of the election. I mean, the fact that she's still blundering, she's still unclear, she's still unable, she's still unwilling to answer these questions lets you know that she's just simply not the right choice in a week from today.
And then you have to listen to Obama and all the other, well, the reason we're not going to vote for her as men is because we're afraid to have a woman as the president. I'm afraid to have a stupid woman as president, just like I would be afraid to have a stupid man as president. I suppose that's a truth that maybe Obama might want to try to backtrack on. So there are women that have a lot of intelligence that I would probably have voted for. But guess who's not one of those women? Not even, you know what? Tulsi Gabbard probably could have ran and made a better president, clearly, than Kamala Harris. Condoleezza Rice maybe have made it. It's far more intelligent. These are far more intelligent. I don't know if they're going to be presidential material because we haven't had that opportunity.
But they have more.
But I would certainly consider it based on their intelligence.
Right. I mean, watching her is a bit like watching a bad comedian who doesn't realize that the punchline fell, right? And she keeps pushing through, convinced that the more words she uses, that she's really driving her point home. But we just got to give her that spoiler alert. It fell flat, you know.
She had a speech the other day where they were chanting Kamala, Kamala, Kamala at the end of it. And then she was like, okay, she stopped everybody and said, okay, now chant your name. And nobody didn't know what to do because they didn't know what she was talking about. And then she had it was like dead silence, like the bad comedian. She was standing up there and she's like, because this is all about us. We're in this together. And it's like, yeah, nobody, it went right. No.
Yeah.
We're not in this together. We're not in it with you.
So, Brad, you know what's got me particularly excited about a week from today in this home stretch is that there are so many avenues in which Donald Trump can win. And we can't say the same for Kamala. She has to go through break through the entire blue wall, Wisconsin, Ohio, Madison, Pennsylvania. But Donald Trump has these combinations. Now we know, right? We know, we fully understand that Kamala will win California. She gets New York. But Donald Trump, if he gets Pennsylvania, Nevada, he wins. He gets Arizona, Florida, he wins. If he gets North Carolina, Wisconsin, Michigan, he wins, right? There's so many different avenues that he can get to 270, but she has to break through the entire blue wall. And she's not for sure if she's going to win Michigan. She's not for sure if she's going to win Pennsylvania. She's not sure if she's going to win Nevada or Wisconsin. And so things are looking great. Now, again, we're not pumping our fists and we're not claiming victory until we see 270 plus on the screen and we know and it's been called. But
I'm telling him to proclaim him president
That's right.
of the United States again.
That's
but
right.
Wouldn't it be something if he could if he took New York? I know it's a long shot. I get it. I know what I just said. But wouldn't it be freeing if he actually won New York.
New York.
God, I would love to see that. I would love to see it.
Happen. I would too. And some other states. But you know what? Speaking of his reach with Americans and having such an amazing week, we just got to talk about it really quickly. His appearance on Joe Rogan, only because how many people? 38 million people tuned into that. 38
so
million.
Far.
And so far. And here's what's really significant about that is that Joe Rogan isn't particularly political. He just sat down to have a conversation, but his viewers are not necessarily or particularly political. Many independents and undecideds were watching the show. That's the importance of Donald Trump being on that show and having so many people tune in and having the interest.
Yeah, that's a big coup for Donald Trump. I think for people to hear him in a way that is just, it's just talking.
Yep.
Joe Rogan isn't political. He's just having conversations with people that interest him. And I think it really says a lot, and it gives it a great opportunity for his voice to be heard in a real way.
Yeah.
Again, just what I was saying, like he's a real person speaking, you know, and I think it's wonderful. Now we've got, I heard tonight, J.D. Vance is going to be going on to Rogan.
That's smart.
I think that is going to be amazing. I think that'll be amazing. We've heard, again, Donald Trump many times, and I think it's going to be really interesting to see J.D. Vance in that casual, because he's so good at defending himself and his positions, but here they are. He's going to have an actual, just a one-on-one conversation with someone. I think it's going to be great.
Yeah, this is really exciting. So Donald Trump had yet another great week. McDonald's serving up the fries. He's at Madison Square Garden. He's having a great time. He's on Joe Rogan. He's just winning. He's on other podcasts. He's reaching audiences that's been beyond the usual reach, right? He's grabbing people from the left, of course, people from the right, and everyone in between. Kamala, everything she touches crumbles, it fails. I mean, even in Minnesota, the Star Tribune, the main paper here, calls Minnesota within 2 points. Now, we're not delusional that he'll actually win Minnesota, but the fact that they're even saying that he will come within 2 points.
Well, let's be realistic, too. It is amazing. And let's be realistic. Why is that happening? You know, we had Obama call out this week and say that, oh, he was a veteran. He's on this and he's a great governor. That great governor got an F rating.
Right.
So he's not a great governor.
No.
Another lie. That's why it's within 2 points. It's within 2 points because Tim Walz is not a great governor.
Correct. And so, you know what? Here's the deal, everyone. As we, again, enter this home stretch of the election, it's really important that you implement, get out and vote and do it early. Bring people with you. If you know of anyone that's an independent, undecided, people who have access issues, by all means, become their transportation and get them to the polls. We've got to win this thing.
We need every vote that's out there.
Absolutely. Every vote will count because we need to make sure that Donald Trump becomes the next and the 47th president of the United States, and bring along his really smart, interracially married VP pick, J.D. Vance, with him so that we can get our country back.
We promote that.
Yeah, we promote that. We promote interracial, but we promote togetherness, right, savages? So,
togetherness.
Yeah. So here's the savage truth
like
I want to claim.
Black and white cookie. Who doesn't love those?
Savage truth is we are in the home stretch and every single vote counts, folks. So make sure you're doing everything that you can. Thank you so much for joining us. And you know what? The ask is always the same and it remains to please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. And remember, as always, say it with me, Brad.
Here we go.
Be bold.
Be strong.
Be faithful.
And be true.
Till next time.
Thank you, everyone.
I'm Cicely.
And I'm Brad, the guy from the bus stop.
The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis is a production of Front Page Magazine and the David Horowitz Freedom Center. Reproduction of this podcast without express written consent is prohibited.